a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G.
Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Reminder this Sunday, Astros Rangers here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 Sunday Night Baseball. Justin Verlander's rehab start for the Space Cowboys on Sunday on ESPN 92.5. We'll be broadcasting live from Space Cadet Bar on Monday for the national championship game and the final game of the Astros Rangers series. They got this super awesome promotion that they are going to be doing, including this Monday and throughout the season, I believe, for Astros games. If you arrive by the third inning and the Astros win, you get a free victory beer at Space Cadet Bar. So all you have to do is be at Space Cadet Bar by the third inning on Monday. And if they win versus the Rangers, Fran Rivaldo's on the mound, you get a free beer at the end of the game.
Some people, they're cool when you don't make it to the ballpark on time. I like that little addendum. Make it by the third inning, partly because I think...
traffic.
Everyone knows that. Getting to Minute Maid Park on time, it's wishful thinking. You can't actually make it happen.
Yeah, you're either going to go really early or you're probably going to be there a little bit late.
I choose to blame everybody else except for the fans for this. You know, it's not your fault. It's everything else and everyone else's fault.
I will say I do think the just getting into Minute Maid Park itself into the stadium is usually very inefficient depending on which gate you get.
That's why you got to go to Highway Cantina first and get a $9.75 Texas tall Texan margarita.
So yesterday, Adam Schefter broke this news that part of the Buffalo-Houston trade for Stephon Diggs, the Texans have wiped out the final 3 years of Diggs' contract. So they took $3.5 million that was owed to him in 2025, moved it up to this year. So this year, in 2024, they will pay Stephon Diggs $22.52 million, and then he will be a free agent. And my immediate reaction at first was, don't like this.
Why not?
But then I thought about it. My originally I was like, well, you gave up a second round pick for a rental? But then you posted on social media one of the clips from our interview with Tyler Dunn. And it was about talking about Stephon Diggs and being motivated in his relationship with his team. I'm like, okay. So if we're concerned about Stephon Diggs being happy and wanting a new contract, well, one of the ways to fix all of that is to give him very clear motivation, which is just, here's $22 million and free agency afterwards. So why don't you go put up 1,800 yards, take the Texans to a Super Bowl, and get paid $25 million a year?
It's put up good numbers. It's also be a better teammate than you at least have been portrayed to be. And it does seem like, based off of our interview with Dunn, that Diggs' issues were more with, in Minnesota, head coach Mike Zimmer, in Buffalo, head coach Sean McDermott, than it was with any of the quarterbacks. So that makes you feel a little bit more optimistic about it. I noticed, Joe, a lot of people online seem to change their mind entirely on the trade. And I have a couple of thoughts on that. One, we need to stop clutching pearls over spending in lottery tickets. Trading a second round pick for 1 year of Stephon Diggs is probably going to net you more than a second round pick would in one season.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you want to nail a second round pick. You are hoping that a player that you find in the second round is going to have a good season. But remember all those guys that the Houston Texans have drafted in the second round? Xavier Suafilo, Brandon Harris. This is a franchise that has not had a lot of luck in the second round. And you got to remember, the second round of the draft, it does not always work out. Lonnie Johnson, second round pick. Max Sharping, second round pick. Ross Blacklock, second round pick. Zach Cunningham, Bernardrick McKinney. And those two guys actually were decent for you. Nick Martin, I mentioned Suafilo already. DJ Swearinger. This team has not had a very good history when drafting in the second round. Guess what? Most teams don't have a great history. 1 year of Stephon Diggs is probably going to be better than whatever you get out of a player that you draft in the second round. Facts.
And the other part of it, too, is that the reaction seemed to make it – it portrayed the Texans having no second-round picks next year.
Which they have. Another one already.
Exactly.
Right.
Like, they had two. This is the Vikings pick they gave up. Now, you want to be semantics here? This is kind of like the – on paper, I would have said, hey, if you're going to void the last 3 years of the contract, I would have asked the Buffalo Bills to take your second-round pick instead of the Vikings' second-round pick, because it's very possible that is like the 35th pick in the NFL draft in 2025. But still, you have a second-rounder. So you're fine there. You're not just losing draft capital by doing this. And all you've done is bring in a player and really motivated him to be a good teammate, to have a great season, so that way he can hit free agency and get paid. It also immediately takes away any concerns I have about the long-term future of Nico Collins as a Houston Texan. Because now you can pay him, have Diggs for a year, and find another wide receiver next season.
Exactly. Adding the extra money this year and just outright clearing that future money off the books, I think, allows Nick Caserio to better negotiate a new deal with Nico Collins. Or you look at it from this perspective, whoever has the better year between Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs, that's the guy who is going to end up sticking around long term. Because while I love what I saw from Nico Collins last year, it was his first awesome season in the league. Mm-hmm. There's a chance that he does not keep that up, especially now that there are more mouths to feed on the offensive side of things. But I think that too many people are stressing over the idea that you do not have him locked into next year. You can give him the franchise tag if you feel really good about him. And I'm assuming that a move like this is done because one of the next steps that you're going to do is give an extension to Nico Collins, because you have freed up more cap space for you in the future. Just seems like it would make a lot more sense for someone who's analytically minded to take care of that, as opposed to having that hovering of the, well, we might keep Stephon Diggs, we might not. And on top of that, what you were saying earlier, it does heavily incentivize Stephon Diggs to have the best possible season here in Houston on the field and off the field.
Now, Todd the Show brings up on Twitch here, and it is a fair counterpoint that he will be pissed if he does not get targets, knowing he's a free agent next year. Yeah, I mean, it's still a concern, of course, but that's a risk the Texans were willing to take. And if it doesn't go well, then you move on. Like, yes, I think the Texans are going to be our legitimate Super Bowl contenders this year. If they're not, it's not the end of the world. I mean, is he going to have over 100 targets this year? I would imagine the answer to that is yes. I mean, you look at the way the targets were spread out last year. Nico had over 100, but then Tank, Dalton Schultz, and Robert Woods also had over 75 targets. Noah Brown had 55, missing quite a bit of time. He only played in 10 games last year. Stephon Diggs is going to have a 100-plus target season, so the targets will be there. Like, I think he'll be fine. And if they're winning, it won't matter.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that with Diggs. That's something he has to prove, because, I mean, they went 6-1, and he was unhappy with his role in the Buffalo offense last year at the end of the season when they changed things up.
Yeah.
So this is definitely something to keep in mind. But, you know, to go back to just the original move, and people were so gung-ho about the move when it first happened, and now some of the same people that are online who are saying, in Nick Caserio, we trust, they're second-guessing it. Make up your effing mind!
Yeah.
Do you trust him or do you not trust him? This is what I don't understand. You trusted him moments ago. You were excited that he got Stephon Diggs, and he did something that makes a lot more sense than extending Shaq Mason right after trading for him, extending Joe Mixon right after trading for him. This makes sense. You don't know that a guy entering year number 10 at wide receiver who is in his early 30s is going to be the same player. But all of a sudden, this is where you're thinking to yourself, oh, I don't know if I trust Nick Caserio now, after you were doing hula hoop dances and jumping jacks and whatever the hell else, the Dougie in celebration. These are all dated dances of the Macarena after what he did.
But they just did this. They did this a couple weeks ago. This is what Texans fans are doing right now. They can't make up their mind about what they think of Nick Caserio, because they can't get out of the fact that, you know, Davis Mills was his first pick ever taken, that Kenyon Green, who's now going to wear the number 76, is a bust. And even though the success Nick Caserio's had in the draft elsewhere.
C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson.
Yeah, but people didn't like the fact that he traded out of the first round for more second-round picks.
These people are such dorks. These draft pick people,
Joe. No, Paul, this is different, because this is the same people who are upset about the Diggs trade. Like, they just, it's to your point, that they can't decide what they do and what they don't like about Nick Caserio.
But this goes back to the draft pick people.
The
draft pick people think that it's a lock that you're going to find somebody in the second round. And I mean, just think about the entire history of the Houston Texans. You can blame it on Rick Smith. You can blame it on Bill O'Brien. But they generally do not hit in the second round.
Yeah. Now, Nick Caserio does. I'll give him credit for that. Like, Nick Caserio, it's a small sample size.
He's found some good players there. No doubt about it. But you can't think to yourself that you're always going to find a guy in the second round. You hope that you do. You have to have confidence in yourself. But in Stephon Diggs, you are getting a proven player. And a one-year rental of Stephon Diggs for a second-round pick is not as expensive as some people are making it out to be. And this is why I hate the draft industrial complex. People overestimate the values of draft picks to an alarming degree.
They do, but they're still... I get why people don't like the fact that they gave up a second-round pick for a guy that's going to walk after a year. But... To me, he
might have walked after the year anyway, though.
Exactly. The deal's not that different now. They made the decision today, not in a year. That's really the only difference. They could have made this decision and, you know, had $3.5 million count against their books next year or still owe him that money before he walked in free agency. That's where the total flip-flop of the deal, it's just it's the same deal. It is the same contract. They made a decision right away. They made this decision ahead of time, and it's all the same. It's a good deal. It might blow up in their face. To Todd the show's point about Diggs not getting enough targets. Yeah, could one day we wake up and the Texans have, you know, they didn't get to draft an elite player because the Vikings did or because the Bills did because you traded that pick. Oh, well. I love draft picks, but I would rather have Stephon Diggs for a year.
You have to look at it from the perspective of, these picks aren't useless, but there's just as good of a chance that you miss completely on the pick as finding a player who's going to be a contributor for you.
Mm-hmm.
And with Stephon Diggs, seen a guy who is more than a contributor at his best, specifically the first half of last season. There are certainly some questions about, okay, how much longer is he going to be able to do this? And I also understand the idea, okay, well, you traded for him and this is it. But it did already feel like this would have been it anyway. I mean, do you think Diggs was going to want to continue to play for that contract that had easy outs the rest of the way?
No.
Probably not. No, he would be thinking about a new deal. So what the Texans did as a sort of compromise here is they pay him more money for this season. And on top of that, they give him the opportunity to hit the free agency market and go wherever the hell he wants, including back here, if he has an awesome season this coming year. But he is going into his 10th year. So there are reasons, good ones, to give yourself flexibility. And we've learned that Nick Caserio likes flexibility, and you would think that the people that have all of a sudden begun saying, in Nick we trust, would realize, yeah, this is what he likes to do, so maybe he should be able to keep doing the thing that he likes to do, create flexibility for the Texans in the short-term future.
Do you think at the root of this, people really don't trust Nick Caserio? Because that's the vibe that I get, that, you know, it's going back to the trade last year, even though it worked out so well for you, and Stingley, the amount of games he played, but choosing him over Sauce and Kenyon Green and taking Davis Mills and all these things that have gone very well for you, but at times seem that they couldn't go well or they wouldn't go well. It still does feel like at the root of the issue that people don't really trust Nick Caserio.
Yeah, but they say they do. That's what's funny.
Yeah.
Make up your mind. You know what? If you were consistent one way or the other... It would make sense to me, but to go from, oh my God, they got Stephon Diggs too. Oh, well, they're only going to have Stephon Diggs for a year. This is dumb. Like, no, make up your mind.
I wonder how much of it is, A, the fact that it's only been like one season of actual results, like good results from it, and the previous 5 years has all been, oh my God, the Texans are incompetent. Oh my God, they're making a lot of moves, but they're making all the wrong moves. And I wonder if it's like a, a shelter dog, a rescue dog, where it's like Texans fans don't know how to trust. They're not ready to put all this current GM's better than our last couple GMs, but I don't know. At any moment, he could snap and make all the wrong moves again, because we've seen that before. So I think it's a little bit of just like they're just, you know, it's a battered fan base, Paul. It's a battered fan. They're not ready to fully open up their hearts to a GM.
I would still imagine too. It goes back to the fact that the only reason why Nick Caserio is your general manager is because Jack Easterby got on a private jet, flew to Carolina, and stops him from being the general manager of the Carolina Panthers.
But it's the best thing he did.
It is the best. It's the only positive thing Jack Easterby did.
I mean, and I know people don't. I think some of it has to do with the fact that people just don't want to do Patriots 2.0. Because they feel like it doesn't work anywhere else. Yeah. It was bound to work somewhere else.
It would also be Patriots 3.0 because that was what Bill O'Brien was Patriots 2 was That's trying true. To was
he
trying
was
to
a false
Patriots
2.0.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is that like they have tried it everywhere in the league. They've also tried it here before, and it didn't work. So I think that's some of the original, you know, the like first impression was a little bit like
that's
all
fair.
Right, all right, sure, dude.
Well, one thing that shook out from the Stephon Diggs trade is apparently we found out yesterday that Jimmy Ward's going to be a Houston Texan this year, even though Paul and I were not so sure that we wanted that to happen. But we're gonna ask a fun question as well. And you can weigh in on this. It's 713-780-3776. Once upon a time, the Minnesota Vikings said that none of their sisters could date Stephon Diggs. We're going to ask that question.
Uh-oh.
Who at ESPN 97.5 will we not let date our sister?
No, it wasn't Granato.
That's next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie, mybookie.ag. Promo code BET975. You sign up, you get a deposit bonus of up to $1,000 right away. The Houston Astros do very, very well for themselves when they head up to Arlington and play the South Oklahoma Rangers. And you want to get in on the next edition of an Astros massacre of the Texas Rangers? Guess what? You can do it at mybookie.ag. Promo code is BET975 once again for that awesome deposit bonus with tonight's game, first pitch, 7:05, with Hunter Brown on the hill for the Astros. And for the Rangers, it's Cody Bradford. The Astros are 1.5 run favorites. The over-under for this game is 10. With the way that the Astros offense generally hits on the road, and with the couple of firework performances that they have had already this week, don't you feel pretty good about their chances? Up in Arlington, Altuve's hot, Alvarez is hot, Jeremy Pena's hot, Yiner Diaz is hot. Lots of bats in the lineup are hitting. So, okay, you can maybe bet on the Astros to just cover straight up 1.5 run favorites. But how about the over-under of 10? I'm going over on that. That, I think, is what you want to play today at mybookie.ag, where you can also play blackjack, do a little poker with live casino dealers. It's mybookie.ag. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Jimmy Ward is no longer number one on the Houston Texans. He was not cut. He's now owned by Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs paid $100,000 to Jimmy Ward to get the number one. Jimmy Ward will return to the number 20.
I wonder if we could have gotten some of that $100,000, Joe, if we had suggested to Stephon Diggs that there's a chance Jimmy Ward isn't on the Texans this season.
There had to be some kind of assurance.
Could we have gotten a finder's fee? So that's why I'm wondering if Jimmy Ward is definitely going to be a Houston Texan this coming season, if a $100,000 purchase of number one has been made on April 4th, 2024. I mean, we are far away from June 1st, where a lot of other cuts take place. We are far away from training camp. He could have waited this one out.
He could have.
50,000 today, 50,000
week one. Now, that would have been a good deal. Okay, half now, half when you make the team.
Because if Jimmy Ward has the ability to really make a lot of money for absolutely nothing.
Good for Jimmy Ward on this front.
Yeah.
He could get cut and just be like, oh, all right. Made 100 grand.
It's so crazy. I just saw Kirk Cousins talking about this. He's going to wear the number 18 because he wanted the number 8 from Kyle Pitts, and they agreed to do a swap. But thankfully for Stephon Diggs here, Jimmy Ward, no offense, buddy, not a popular player in the NFL. Apparently, the new rule is that Kyle Pitts and Kirk Cousins would have had to buy every single Kyle Pitts jersey.
Yeah.
And Kirk Cousins said it would have cost several $100,000
okay.
to buy every single Pitts 8 jersey off of Nike and the NFL.com website.
That makes sense, especially since there's going to be a jersey release very soon. And I imagine that the Texans want to have in the new jersey.
Have him.
A Stephon Diggs jersey, ready to go right away in all of the new uniforms.
And that like jersey purchase thing, that isn't new. I remember, I think it was LeBron that.
Oh, 23-6 or 6-23.
Yeah, on the Lakers. Yeah, because I think he was going to change from 23-6, so Anthony Davis could wear 23 on the Lakers. And then he would, again, it was the same issue. He would have to buy, like, so many different ones. So I think he ended up changing, but, like, after a while.
I think he waited a year.
Yeah, if you give enough heads up, you don't have to pay for the jersey.
It's a smart move for Nike to put that into contract with these leagues and be like, hey, like, you guys can change your numbers all you want.
I don't know who's actually, like, done it, though. Have they ever actually made money off of that?
No, because you have to be a popular player to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's like...
Well, Jimmy Ward fought DeAndre Hopkins once.
Yeah, but I bet you they probably made like 150 Jimmy Ward jerseys last year.
150?
Honestly, I bet you if you go to the Texans shop, they're not even available. Now, they also did just sell... Like,
I will not take you up on that. I actually do tend to believe you. Yeah, Jimmy Ward is probably not moving a lot of units outside of with the greater Ward family.
Yeah. That's my favorite part about working at Lids is we would have family members come in from these teams and get visibly upset with us if we didn't have their family member's jersey. Whitney Merciless's sister came into our Lids store at the Galleria when I was working there, and we were like, oh yeah, we didn't know who she was. And one of the guys was like, yeah, he's not good enough to have his jersey in the store.
Okay, well, when you phrase it like that.
What year was this?
This would have been the back end of his career, right? So this would have been, was it 2018 was his last year?
Well, they drafted him in 2012, right?
Yeah.
So.
Was it when they changed the uniforms by adding the little Texans logo on
the back? I remember being.
And so his sister was like, well, I have to get the new uniform.
I remember being at the flagship. We were there at the same time, Paul. And I remember John just going on and on about how he had major Texans jersey breaking news, and it was like life altering. And all it was they added the Toro to the back of the jersey. That was the most let down story I've ever heard in my life.
I'm with you on that one.
I was so bummed.
I remember when it happened, and I was thinking to myself, wait, no, this isn't an April Fool's joke?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah, this will get a lot of people to buy it. Literally the exact same jersey, but with an extra patch that you could probably just sew on yourself if you really wanted to.
So Stephon Diggs, when he was a member of the Minnesota Vikings, we played this audio earlier this week. But we'll play it again just to remind you. They did a social media video in which they asked all the players of who would they not let date their sister.
Davin, what guy on the team would you least like to date your sister?
What the hell? Diggs.
What guy on this team would you least like to date your sister?
Oh, Stephon Diggs.
What guy on this team would you least like to date your sister?
Least like to date my sister, Diggs. 100%.
What guy on this team would you least like to date your sister? And I might add, you're starting to be the runaway favorite for this.
Would nobody want me to date his sister? I'm a great guy. I'm actually a great guy.
There's actually seems to be a few guys that don't think that.
You feel differently about me?
Yeah.
They just don't know me well enough. That's what it is. It's the beard. All right, who don't I want to date my sister? Weatherly.
Why Weatherly?
Because he's ugly.
I think that's my favorite part of the video.
My favorite part is Diggs saying, I'm a great guy. And then flexing, or like immediately pivoting to what you just said, like he just calls one of his teammates ugly.
Yeah. It's like hypocrite in that moment.
I don't know if he's a hypocrite. That's fair. I think he's fun. So I think so too. I think he will be a welcome addition to this locker room. But yeah, to go back to that question, no one wants to date No one wants their sister to date Stephon Diggs.
So who do we not at ESPN 97.5 not want to date your sister or your pretend sister, like if you're like me and don't have one? Immediately here on the Twitch, Fred says, Joel can't date my sister. He's like 80.
Wow. Is he like 80? I don't know how old he is. How old is he?
I don't know. He won't tell me.
Oh, he won't tell you. That's not good.
No, one time I said he was 50, and he got mad at me. I was like, well, you're not younger than 50, so why are you getting mad at me? I was really confused, actually, in that moment. Because, like, I know you're not under 50.
Age is not a reason to not date someone.
Yeah. That's true. It's just a number, dude.
Age is a number. Love is a battlefield, but love is for everyone. All ages. That's why they had the Golden Bachelor.
I don't know how to say this guy's Twitch name. Joe can date my sister. Thanks. Because he'll help me with my taxes. I did help him with his taxes. I told him, have a baby and you get money.
Good to know. A lot of citizens out there using.
You don't come out in the positive.
Yeah, you do.
Procreating for the right reason.
No, diapers are pretty. Diapers are expensive. Yeah. I mean, you get money for 18 years. It's pretty good.
Yeah, by claiming them as a dependent.
Now, it helped me from owing money this year. Okay. So that was a positive. So we got money back instead of owing money.
Oh, actually.
So who do you want to. Who would you say no?
Well, my sister is married.
Yeah, pretend she's not.
Yeah, Dell and I talked about this before, but most of the people on the station are also married, so yeah. we have to suspend this.
Everyone's single today.
The
go crazy, folks.
The next question I'm going to ask, and I love my sister, bless her heart, she's smart, went to Harvard.
Wow,
Harvard.
Ears, nose, and throat surgeon at one of the most prestigious hospitals of the Northeast. Pediatrics, so it's just like only like. 200
Can
of them
I marry your sister? Sounds like she has a lot of money.
So here's my biggest nightmare. My biggest nightmare is, and this is going to involve asking a very left-leaning political question.
Okay.
But who is the most left-leaning person here at ESPN 97.5?
Oh, I don't know.
Because that person combined with my sister, I'm just not going to want to talk to them about major political issues ever.
So we wouldn't tell your sister that The Rock just denounced Joe Biden. I would say,
and my sister's not that bad, but it's more I don't want another reason for back and forth between my dad and my sister at the holidays. Yeah.
I can see
when
why
I was
that's
growing
tough.
Up. I used to throw fire on it, but now I don't.
Now it's just like avoid.
Now
at
it's
all
even
costs.
Worse. Well, it's even worse between them now. Like they just don't talk politics at all. So it's really I just don't want somebody else who leans super left. And that's nothing against people who lean left. It's more than
in this moment.
It's more that the two-headed dragon that will create. That's what I don't want. So I guess BMAC.
Okay, BMAC.
The Twitch claims BMAC's liberal. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't really know much about people's political takes. Sean, would you care to answer next?
Who would I know? I feel like we'd be remiss if we don't mention one of the guys on the show right now. Although Paul because you know, like, Paul's, you would think, is the easy answer as I'm talking this out for who would you not. Most Stephon Diggs like personality, personal life wise.
Probably the correct answer.
But, however, I know enough about Paul's dating life.
You know it wouldn't last that long?
You just only got to put up with them for 5 weeks.
Six weeks. That's a couple of months.
It's a very short amount of time.
The other thing is I feel like I need to be on my best behavior with people that know people.
If they're
connected through people I know.
Yeah.
To the point where now I try not to date people like that.
Okay.
I think that's a good strategy.
But then also should become like a character on the show. So yeah. It's still Paul's the answer, but for different, it's a more layered reason.
Yeah, I'm going to assume that I'm going to have to merge age gap here as well with mine. But I've gotten a lot of grief on this show about the fact that I will not fully abandon my Bears. And I understand that like why you guys have this take. That I should just abandon them.
It's like, it's honestly embarrassing.
But I want, I understand it's embarrassing. I get it. But I want the person that if I had a sister to date my sister to stand by their teams at all times and to be
loyal. So you're saying that everyone should want you to date their sister.
I want loyalty. I want loyalty no matter how bad things get. So I don't want people to forget that once upon a time, I was not the only Bears fan that worked at this station. Now, this guy also was a White Sox fan, so I'm choosing Granato. Because Granato, from Chicago, has abandoned his teams and left them behind.
Wow.
So, I question the loyalty.
Yeah, but he's got money, so like your sister's never going to want.
Is he going
to
give me some of that money?
Front seat. Well, it doesn't matter if he's going to give it to you. He's just going to give it to your sister.
I understand.
And I mean, look at all these awesome tickets that he has at all these big games. He's like front row for Rene Blanco's no-hitter.
But what about his?
You can be a hanger-on.
What about his old teams?
His old teams.
His old teams.
You don't want any Chicago White Sox tickets.
I mean, some have called me a young John Granato. And like Granato, I've abandoned a lot of those teams. You know, handsome person. Everyone loves him. They like to drink with him. You know, like that's the case. That's where we're at. So, most people should want me to. Most people should want their sister to have the honor of dating me for 5 weeks.
Someone from Paul's family just texted in 2239. Paul, your sister is a surgeon, and you do sports radio. What a disappointment.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, that's a stark difference. Like,
it's the worst. Choice. It's the absolute worst. Like, my sister is, like, honestly the smartest person I know. Not even kidding. And, here's this dumbass who's, like, doing sports radio. He's been fired 3 times. Wait, my bad, too. What?
Nothing. Yeah, I do imagine, like, the family conversation sounds like your sister's talking about a surgery she performed. And they're like, What'd you do today? Well, I did Tucker Paulson on the radio.
Yeah,
well,
I was like, oh, Rangers Astros is coming up.
I dressed up as Batman today.
And then she's like, I was busy raising your godson and on top of that, like, removing tumors from children. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, hey, you know. But ultimately, I'm making people smile.
Yeah.
You are.
A lot of people smile at once. Or making them get mad and scream at the radio. Yeah, she hit me with like one of the worst uppercuts ever. We were getting into a, get this, argument about politics. We were polite with each other, and I was like, Sarah, I don't know that you necessarily like are in touch with the common man, if you will. And my sister responds like, well, I don't know if you're in touch with the common man either, because who listens to radio anymore? And I was like, I literally got up and thought about jumping off of the balcony. It was the most devastating backhand. Not even backhand. It was just like slapping me in the face. And she said it so politely and nicely. And I was like, I want to die. I just want to die in this moment right here.
All right. Our 10-minute drill. We'll get to that next. What's going on in the NFL? An update on Rashee Rice. That's next here on ESPN 97.5,
92.5. We're ready for some football, baby.
Dad, hush!
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time.
A couple follow-ups real quick from the last segment. Let's see. We got Lance from 8311. 8311 says, my sister would be immediately pregnant. 8716, John Granato without question. Paul, you definitely keep me laughing all day, 9092 says.
Well, at least there's one person out
there. Endorsement? Or?
And then 4294 says, I can't tell if Paul's laughing or crying right now.
I couldn't either.
A little bit of both.
A little bit of both. So, Rashee Rice, we got an update today.
Oh, my now, God, this guy.
Now, this story is weird because...
Now I know why he apologized as quickly as he did.
It seems the aggregators might have got it a little bit wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's conflicting reports on this. The aggregators were saying that he had 10.8 ounces of weed in his car. That is a felony. It seems the actual number is that it's 10.8 grams of weed in his car, which he left behind, which is not a felony. It's just a low-level misdemeanor. So that's not as... It's not troubling at all, frankly, if it's that much. I guess that's very little weed, like whatever. That should be legal anyways. Much better than the initial report, but my favorite thing was yesterday the lawyer talking.
Oh, man, there's been some outstanding lawyering of late and just political statements, especially coming out of Kansas City. Yet another. Remember we had the Chiefsaholic lawyer not too long ago using 30 football references in the defense of his client. The person that wants the Chiefs to move from Kansas City in Missouri to Kansas did the same thing. And now we have this lawyer with the all-time deflection. Rashee Rice's lawyer had this to say about, you know, Rashee Rice, a vehicle he leased, a Lamborghini, a Corvette that he owned, street racing, colliding, and then Rice getting out of the passenger side seat of the car that he was driving, as his lawyer admitted, only to leave the scene of the accident and now with a little bit of weed in said car. Quote, "Why don't you do a story of who he is as opposed to what occurred?" First off, wow. "Because it seems," continued the lawyer, "as though what you're saying is based on this one incident. You're going to define him based on this incident as opposed to his entire body of work. I would say each and every one of you, if all of us had to be defined by one incident, that would be ridiculous as opposed to our entire body. So I'd ask that you as the media look at his entire body of work before saying exactly who he is. That will be better." And you know what? Joe, Sean, I haven't told people this yet, but I actually am an extra in the next Fast and Furious movie.
Hmm.
And some people might see me after this movie and they might think to themselves, wow, he's a street racer. He endangers people. But I am more than that. I've rescued a cat. Yeah, that's right. Adopt. Don't shop. I've rescued a cat.
Let's get two more
on Craigslist. I am a perfectly awesome absentee godfather. I am a fantastic person, and I am more than just a street racer in Fast and Furious 11. And guess what? 12.
Get your cat. You got your cat on Craigslist?
I found my cat on Craigslist at a hoarder's house, animal hoarder's house in Katy. Oh, my goodness, the urine smell. Oof.
That doesn't sound like it's on the up and up here.
Well, I rescued that cat.
You did rescue that. Yeah. That's a great thing you did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just doesn't sound exactly legal.
Oh, well, you can get a cat on Craigslist. What are you talking about?
Can you?
Yeah.
What are you talking about, Joe?
I don't know. I don't have a cat.
It's the same as getting a dog on Craigslist.
I went through the proper channels for my dog.
Do you know what's illegal?
Whoa, what? A breeder?
No.
Wait, where'd you go?
No, we went to a shelter. We went to a shelter.
Joe, you know what is illegal?
Hmm.
Street racing and leaving the scene of a six-car accident where people got injured, and then on top of that, like leaving weed in the car.
It reminds me of Rusty Harden when he told...
Where was Rusty Harden for this case? It happened in Texas, in his jurisdiction.
Well, maybe when he went on the radio and said the happy endings are legal.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
He
was not speaking from personal experience.
I Googled it, and then I also didn't realize that he said once upon a time that Adrian Peterson is a good guy and loves his kids.
Yeah.
After he defended him. So maybe that's why Rusty Harden's not in the game for Rashee Rice on this one. DJ Burns, the NC State star, not interested in the NFL.
Yeah. It was pretty funny. Not just DJ Burns directly saying, yeah, I mean, I think the media is looking for things.
Mm-hmm.
I believe his college basketball coach said, yeah, he's a teddy bear. So there you go. It's definitely not going to work out for him in the NFL. Yeah,
not going to work.
You got to be mean.
Yeah, you got to be willing to street race.
Yeah.
Leave the scene of an accident.
Yeah.
Look at Georgia. Nothing but good football players. Nothing but street race.
Live your life one six-car accident at a time.
Mm-hmm. That's the way to live. Especially if you're an NFL
player. Assuming there's no casualties.
Yeah.
Georgia.
It's true. Not exactly the best track.
They're not pitching a perfect game on that front.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
Anymore.
I think that's what we got in the NFL. Deshaun Watson's throwing football again.
All right. Deshaun Watson said he's going to be ready for kickoff of the season, Joe. And that is important to note because Deshaun Watson famously has a great track record when saying that he's going to play in a game. Because remember, this past year, he was supposed to play in a game. I believe I put money with mybookie.ag. Promo code Bet975 on the game because I was like, oh, they're definitely going to win this one. And, he was not ready to go for said game.
Oh, by the way, one thing we didn't get to, someone mentioned Hard Knocks earlier. In the past, the Houston Texans, they are exempt from the preseason Hard Knocks, but there is the in-season Hard Knocks.
Right, it might be a division now.
And now they're going to do a whole division.
That'll be interesting to go from one team to the next Honestly,
this division makes a lot of sense. Four quarterbacks under 26?
Yeah. Four teams that... Let's be honest. Very few people care about outside of their respective cities.
Yeah.
They could all certainly use the publicity. I would say between the NFC South and the AFC South, those two divisions have probably the smallest amount of fans in the NFL. Like, all eight of those teams are probably towards the bottom.
I would agree with that.
Maybe the Cardinals, the Arizona Cardinals are in there, too.
Yeah, like the Panthers are in
there. Yeah, but they're like eight of the bottom 12.
Yeah,
I would agree.
Eight of the bottom 15, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe the Texans is bigger than that.
AFC East's got a lot. AFC North has got a lot. AFC West does have, surprisingly,
NFC
a lot.
North.
Chargers are really the only exception in that one. NFC North, yeah, definitely. NFC East, oh my God.
Yeah. All right, we've discussed this idea before on how do you fix college football, and a report is out that a college football super league might be on the way. We'll discuss that next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Before we do that, I'm going to talk to you guys about LaBerge, Lake Charles. We're going back. And this time, it's the three of us. On the 24th of April, Paul, Sean, myself will be at LaBerge, Lake Charles. When we were there the first time, Sean, Brian, and I, we bet on the Astros over win total. Maybe this show will go on the Texans over win total this year. Maybe a Texans Super Bowl appearance. And every time we go to LaBerge, we base a place of our good future bet on our teams. Like, Sean doesn't seem to like it. I like it. This time we'll do the Texans. Next time we'll do the Rockets. LaBerge Lake Charles. When you want to leave Texas and go bet on your teams, LaBerge Lake Charles is a great place to go. Betting 19 betting kiosks, massive TV inside the sports, but great casino as well. Plenty of great restaurants to eat at while you are there. So when you leave Texas, go to LaBerge Lake Charles and make sure you download the Penn Play app and win up to $2,000 in Penn Play cash.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
All right, so we got a report out that there is a conversation happening about this Super League idea in college football. And this is something that always felt inevitable as the league started to alter and they started to bring in NIL and conversations about just paying players came into the equation. But I'm a little surprised that the conversations have started already. It's the proposed idea is 80 schools. They would pay the players. It would be collectively bargained, but there would be an increase in revenue. And part of the reason by this that Stuart Mandel and Andrew Marchand say is that, you know, they got quotes in that the current model for college athletics is dead, duh, but also headed towards bankruptcy, which that surprised me. I was a little confused by that.
So where is the bankruptcy? Is it with the NCAA? Is it with the conference commissioners or the conferences themselves? The individual schools on a school by school basis?
Yeah, it's
feels like it would be that, if anything.
Yeah, school by school, because like UCLA is one where UCLA was I think when Chip Kelly got hired, they reported that they were like $50-60 million in debt from rebuilding their facilities and not being able to, you know, sell tickets to, you know, to make up the cost of that, and not just their football facilities, but doing volleyball and soccer and all these things. So some of these schools have invested financially in their just their infrastructure, but then if their football team and basketball team aren't good enough, they're not making up that money, so they're actually just like they're hurting. But 80 schools, there are, you know, in here they talk about how Alabama, Notre Dame, schools like that could get more financial pie in this. This is interesting. This goes back to what you talked to with like there being basically an ESPN league and a Fox league. It kind of all heads in that direction. You're talking. One of those I saw was like 8-10 team divisions, and that's kind of how they figure everything out, and they regionalize it. So it's not just, you know, you're not just flying across the country. You know, it's Texas A&M, Texas, the Cougs, Texas Tech. Like, they're in one conference maybe with, like, LSU. It's interesting. And there's not even a guarantee of the 80 teams being in there. Like, some relegation talks have been also added.
I think the relegation talks would be a good way to, at the very least, incentivize the possibility of shaking it up, because it would suck if just 80 schools are allowed in. Because what happens to the 80 schools that aren't in? Do they get to go to 1AA? Would you want to go to 1AA? Do you make money in 1AA? Do you want the ability to play for a championship? And how do the 1AA schools feel about that? So I think shrinking the actual overall pool of 1A schools is probably for the best as far as what's going on TV. And let's be honest, I think a lot of people, they go into the college football seasons and you know your school doesn't really have a chance. You probably watch a couple of games. You hope they beat their rivals.
Yeah, so the timeline for this is that it sounds as if one of the reasons why they recently approved the playoff expansion and the six-year deal is that this kind of matches up everything at once. The Big Ten television deal, the Big 12, the SEC, and the college football playoff deal all pretty much end between 2030 and 2034. So all these contracts are going to be up almost at one time, and this company, CST, is who's trying to essentially buy college football. It is really looking at maybe 2030 is when they have this super league in place, and they can pretty much buy college football out, which that would be crazy.
It would be nuts. The promotion relegation thing, though, it's only going to be the bottom 10 teams. Like, yeah. There's going to be 70 permanent members. So it's not, like, actually promotion relegation.
Yeah, so almost like, I think you...
But if you're one of the last 10 teams on a year-by-year basis, you could get phased out? There's a locked-in legacy 70 teams.
So there's going to be basically 7 10-team divisions joined by an 8th that would be promoted from the second tier. 50-plus second division teams, blah, 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 would compete, creating the European system. The 70 permanent teams would never be in danger of moving down, while the second division would have the incentive of promotion and relegation.
And it sounds like, the teams that are in these major conferences now are the 70 teams,
yeah,
included with Notre Dame, and then they're factoring SMU as a new ACC member, which I forgot about until I read this article, that SMU is going to be in the ACC. So these 70, so it's like the
Rasheed
Cougs.
Rice University.
So like the Cougs are not like in trouble here, or you know, even, which surprises me. I honestly
think this would help them a little bit.
It would, but I thought schools like Vanderbilt and Northwestern, I thought maybe they would not be considered part of this because they're not valuable.
Stanford maybe as well.
Yeah, like I wondered if
there's also been talk about like different of when they would have to go to the payment model and like teams breaking away from the NCAA and creating their own thing where teams would opt in basically to paying players, and that would be like basically the hurdle and the kind of nice way to be like, all right, well,
yeah,
Stanford, Vanderbilt, Northwestern, later, like, because you're not going to want to pay players, or you either don't want to or can't, like, actually can't. It's not important to you as a university athletics are, not to the level that it takes to actually compete in the, you know, upper divisions.
I'm curious how the schools view this. You know, because they're really not students. They're already not students.
Well, how would you look at anything where you don't really have a choice? You know, if you want to make money and this is what you're going to have to do.
I mean, you're essentially now
you're hoping you make the cut.
You're almost a licensing partner.
Yeah,
at this point.
That would be what it is. Is like, that you're just licensing
University
the
of
name
Alabama.
And University of Alabama, and then it's professionals. You know, young professional football players playing.
It's
yuppies. Ugh.
Well, no, I just mean like.
I know. I just 18-year-old,
18-year-olds making money.
These damn toonies taking our jobs.
I really hope this happens.
Yeah, there is a part here where it's like.
I don't know if I want to happen.
Thus far, the group is struggling to gain traction with the schools that would play in the league. The ACC board directors heard a presentation. However, the planned dinners with administrators from the Big Ten, SEC, Big 12 were all called off. The Big Ten and SEC have not met with this group in any way. So there is a little bit of like, you know, so the ACC is very interested in this. I wonder why.
Yeah, this is the ACC feels like leverage to get out of their TV contract. But I would, this is going to take the SEC in the Big
Ten. That's why, like, they might go to some form of Super League kind of thing. It's not going to be this, though.
No, it's not going to be this.
Until you get the Big Ten and the SEC, it's like it really isn't a Super League. It's just It's the ACC.
Yeah. So this it does feel like the start of something.
Yeah. It's the talk. You know, they're planning. There's guys making, consultants making money, like, you know, pitching this idea. The problem is they can't get in a room with the Big Ten, Big 12, or SEC to actually pitch it.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out, if or when this actually ever takes place. I think eventually it will. I think you believe it will.
It will at some point.
At least in some way, shape,
yeah,
or form.
It's a bummer, but it's going to happen.
All right, what do you hate most about the Rangers? Let us know. 713-780-3776. What are you looking forward to this weekend?
We want you to roast their
ass. Yeah, call in. 713. Let's get some. It's WrestleMania weekend. Let's get some WWE-style promos here on the Rangers.
Be your own version of Ric Flair?
Ric Flair's a good reference.
Okay.
It might be a problematic reference, but it's a good reference.
Oh, do you get... Well, actually, I guess the real question is, who hasn't been canceled?
From wrestling?
Well, Vince McMahon did.
To say the least.
Flair.
Yeah. Hogan.
Hogan does, yeah.
Yeah, lots of canceling, but not here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.